on a day like today, where I'm calling it a snapback Tuesday, what are you looking for in today's market action to have faith that this is perhaps the market rebuilding and it's not going to be another big leg down for this market?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back. It's great to be back. I'm looking for follow through and consistency, because it's one thing to have a snapback that's based on knee-jerk reflexes, but where the buying is going tells you a lot about the quality of the buyers coming into the market. They're going back into tech, which is smart. They're coming into energy, which is smart. They're coming into financials, which is smart. All of which tells me that we are set up for a much higher finish to the year if we can keep the federal government in shackles, we can keep the Fed on the sidelines. There's a number of big ifs, but this is good. This is the right kind of buying today.
And looking ahead to the next, I guess, immediate catalyst for the market, that could be the jobs report coming out on Friday. How critical is that report going to be for the Fed's strategy going forward? Because it has implications for inflation as well. What are you looking for from that report?
We've got to get what I call a Goldilocks number. It's got to be hot enough that it says the economy is in good shape and it has the continuity and confidence that investors need to go forward, but not hot enough that it brings the Fed off the sidelines with fears of raising rates. Because if that happens, then here we go again, up, down, rates go up, stocks go down, and we're off to the races yet again. So I want to see just that right temperature in the middle.
I want to switch for a moment and talk sectors with you. And let's begin with energy, which has been rallying over the past few weeks, sort of in lockstep with oil prices. We've got crude now sitting at a 7-year high. What are you doing right now with regards to the energy space?
Well, we've talked about investing in oil companies, and we've done so over the past, 4 or 5 weeks, you know, because inflation is real. It's not transitory. This is traditionally a great way to do that. And the other thing to think about is many investors have shifted to EV, but they've underestimated the staying power of traditional dinosaur juice. So to me, between inflation and that demand that's pent up as the economy reopens, that's a logical place to be.
All right, let's talk a little tech, because the FANG stocks took it on the chin yesterday. Different story, though, today as we're seeing investors jump back in. Is this still a valuation story? Are you putting more money into those big name tech stocks? And I'm going to ask you specifically about Facebook, which we know took a shellacking yesterday, but is up about 2% right now.
You know, we're very keen to invest in almost all of the big tech except Facebook, because as the whistleblower alleges, I think the buck stops with Zuck, and there's some serious problems, because if they are able to prove that they have deliberately misled investors, that is serious litigation time, and I think the stock may not pull out of this one. We'll know when advertisers start to foist, but I got to believe there's going to be some harsh conversations at the boardroom level.
But, you know, we've seen this playbook before, right, Keith? I mean, Facebook has had to deal with a whole bunch of different challenges and legal challenges, and yet the stock seems to be like Teflon, and nothing seems to be able to touch Facebook. Why do you think this time might be different?
Well, this time you've got an actual whistleblower saying it goes right to the very top. Apparently, there is not only evidence backing this up, but lots of other factoids that haven't yet hit the wires that I'm hearing through the rumor mill. So what this tells me is the tenor of the conversation has changed. And the fact that, you know, we had an outage, Facebook is struggling with its positioning, it can't really put together an articulate message, tells me that the somebody's hit a nerve somewhere. And I don't know what that is. But to me, what I do know is that Zuckerberg's brilliant. He's a lot of things, but he's not an executive I'd care to invest in right now.
So let me ask you this. If not that I'm saying this is out there, but if Mark Zuckerberg were to step down or ask to step down, do you think that that makes Facebook a more attractive play for investors?
Immediately, because here's the thing. If he comes forward and says, you know what, we made some mistakes, here's what we're going to do to clean it up, and the buck stops with me, that's the kind of confidence that inspires investors, it inspires people like me, it inspires the entire world that could rally around Facebook. So I think it's got a golden moment here if that happens. But if it doesn't happen, then you know what, I don't think the stock is going to have easy go of it.
But is it more of a golden moment if Zuckerberg were to stop being CEO of the company he founded?
I do think it is that case because, again, you know, if the allegations are true and if the buck actually stops with Zuckerberg himself, then that sets up a cascade of events where they've got to get him out of the leadership chair. Perhaps he goes into an advisory capacity. Perhaps he becomes chairman emeritus. I don't know. But the board has got to say that this is a reset. We've acknowledged our transgressions. We're going to take these steps and we're actually going to move forward. That, to me, is powerful. We've seen companies reinvent themselves in the past doing that. And it would be a good thing for Facebook. That could triple the company's value if it gets back on track.
All right. Want to tick through your hot takes here today. We're going to start with the chip sector. Intel has been playing second, third, and fourth to other companies like AMD and NVIDIA. Why do you like Intel right now?
They're working on chips right now that are second generation neural mimickers. So they're trying to mimic the way human nervous systems process. This is a crucial step in AI. It could put Intel back on the map.
All right. Anything else you want to add? That was quick.
Well, you asked for a quick take.
All right. These are your hot takes. I like it. You take direction well, Keith. All right. Let's go on to rapid COVID testing. You like some of the companies behind this area. Any names in particular?
You know, this is a very tough one because many of the companies develop rapid COVID breathalyzers. It's desperately needed technology if we're going to reopen and stay open. Now, whether you agree with vaccines or breathalyzers or mandates, who cares? It's irrelevant. What matters is that we have the data to support it. To me, this is the Microsofts, the Apples. I'm looking for one or two of these companies to really break out in this analyzing space because the first company that can deliver a true inconvenience, non-invasive test stands to make a lot of money, and I'd love to be able to find it.
All right. And then you say there is one pot stock people should be banking on right now. What is that?
Well, it's an REIT that goes around. It's looking at pot or cannabis production facilities. And what we've got to do is IIPC, I think, is the ticker. I'm having a brain cramp at the moment because I haven't had enough coffee out here on the West Coast. But what we're looking for is in the real estate space, there's beginning to be a breakout where people are assembling the property and income and stability needed to treat that as a traditional real estate category rather than just a speculative shot run by cowboys. Innovative Industrial Properties, that's the ticker. There we go.
All right. And just to be clear for folks watching at home, you own the stocks that we were just talking about. You have a stake in them?
Not yet. I have a stake in the big tech ones. Obviously, I don't own Facebook. Innovative Property don't have yet. But in terms of Dinosaur Juice, yes, we have ConocoPhillips and Chevron, for example.
All right. Sounds good. And then finally, what do you tell the average investor who sees all the volatility in the market and strategists are calling for more volatility in the fourth quarter? What's the best way forward for them with so much uncertainty, even coming out of Washington and, of course, coming out of the Fed?
First thing you got to do is take a deep breath and understand that corrections are normal. They're a proper part of things functioning the way they should be. So look at the companies that are building to the future, changing the world, the ones that have great CEOs, great products, big margins. Dollar cost average in, nibble a little at a time, but buy low, sell high is how the game's played. Use the volatility to your advantage. Don't fall prey to the headlines.